On this episode, I sit down with Aaron Kruger out of Tennessee, who is the founder of the Aaron Kruger team. With 2 decades of experience, she talks about the key to building a $2 billion business. As well, she breaks down the basic things a team lead can do right now to diversify their business. As well, she talks about why being rehearsed and prepared is paramount to winning over clients, and why listening is the single most important skill an agent can develop today. Now, before we get started, if you find content like this valuable, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button now to help the algorithm. Now, without further ado, I'm your host, Sean Kunkler, and the team lead of the Homeward Associates Group out of San Francisco. Aaron, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Sean.
Of course. This is going to be fun. I feel like there's so many things I want to learn about you, just in your business and your philosophy and your mindset. I feel like you juggle a lot of things.
I do. I think it's a big joke. Everyone's like, you wouldn't know what to do if you weren't busy. And I think that's true. However, I am learning. I'm always learning to be able to delegate, hire great people. So I don't always have to be on 24/7. And believe it or not, I'm rarely work weekends now, which is a big thing after 18 years in the biz and working almost every day. So
that's impressive. I actually just had COVID, unfortunately, last week. And I was laying on the couch and I'm like, I can't do nothing. It was really hard to not do anything. And I had my little notebook and ideas would come in and I'd write them down. And then I'd be like texting my it was very hard to just not do anything.
It takes me a couple days, like even on vacation, to unwind. And that's just the life that I've chosen. I tell my agents all the time, we chose to be real estate professionals. That's a completely different thing than being a 9-to-5, check in, check out. And that's not a job. Like, I have a career that I absolutely love, that every single day when my feet hit the floor in the morning when I get up, I'm happy. Like, I'm my own boss. I create, I can make, there's no barrier to entry for real estate, really. And the sky's the limit. So I think that's just, it shows me so much. And this career I'm so thankful for and the people that I've met. And it's up to us at the end of the day, you know, how much we want to work, how successful you want to be, and what you determine success to be.
All of that is so very true. It's, yeah. I mean, you get to put the pen to paper and create the life however you want it to be. And then at the end of the day, you decide, was that what I wanted? Was that successful? Which I know you've had massive amounts of success, 18 years in the business. What are you, you're up $2 billion in transactions?
Yep. We've been very blessed over the years. And, you know, my team is, you know, not letting up. It's 3 months into the, you know, almost 4 months into the year. And, you know, we're closing, you know, close to 70 million since January. And we're just, and we run a very lean team. I mean, I don't aspire to have, you know, 15, 20 agents. I want to keep everything super small and kind of keep it right around 8 or 9 licensed agents. The rest are admin and support staff. And I feel that culture is our number one asset. And so to keep that culture super tight, it needs to be on the smaller scale instead of a larger scale. And with that, you only grow so much. But we've been very blessed by really repositioning our business from huge, huge transactions based to increasing our volume and not doing as many transactions. And that's what I think I'm most proud of as a business owner, is going from over 500 deals a year and maybe like 130,000, you know, 130 million to changing that paradigm to 250 deals a year and hitting 200 plus million. So for me, that was the evolution that I saw and wanted to change some things about how we were doing them and to be smarter about what we're doing. And so it's really, really transformed the team.
That is incredible to go to make such a dramatic shift like that. Just changing your price point, even trying to get into the next 100,000, 500,000 price point is a challenge, let alone jumping to where it's essentially doubled. How did you do that?
Early on, when I was an individual agent, I ended up landing a client that was a hedge fund. And so I ended up sourcing a lot of properties myself. And that's how I became the number one individual agent for volume and sales and transactions in Tennessee, and then 14 in the country, just by, you know, running cap sheets and buying houses for this particular hedge fund. Putting that aside, I was doing residential real estate on the weekends. So I was completely all in with the hedge fund Monday through Friday, and then selling $20 million a year by myself, you know, with that. So pairing both of that together, I was doing 60 million, 70 million myself, and doing hundreds of transactions a year. But that can only last so long. You need to have a team. And so when I started to delegate and have team members, I then had divisions. So then I had an investor division, put somebody in charge of that, taught them. Then I put in other divisions on the team, and I wanted to work with developers, and I wanted to work with builders, and I wanted to work with relocation companies and have a relocation division. And so what I did is I sought out that, you know, hedge funds and REITs aren't going to last forever. There's going to be ebbs and flows in our markets where they stop buying. And if you go all in on one niche, you're going to fall flat. And diversification is the way to go when you're building a business and building a team. And so I really thought that out. And that's really what changed. So when I knew that the hedge fund, and I didn't want to have that lifestyle either. It was really transactional. And that's not who I am. I'm very a relationship based person. And that was the secret to my success with the hedge fund, because I was able to close so much because of my relationships with agents versus just sending them an offer, not calling them, not talking to them. And I built rapport. But at the end of the day, you know, it was more transactional, and I wanted to be able to be more relationships with our clients and things like that. And so what I did is I parlayed the success of the numbers that we got to be able to put myself in opportunities where I had a shot of getting into the luxury market. I had a shot of getting places like that. And I'm an old farm girl, so I always say, just give me a shot. You know, I won't be the smartest person in the room, but I will definitely be the hardest working person in the room. And so anytime that anybody like gives me an opportunity, I want to knock it out of the park. And I won't take something on that I feel like I couldn't do. And that means a client, I would rather refer it. So when somebody comes to me on the commercial side of things, while I have done commercial purchases for myself and things like that, I don't feel comfortable working that deal. So I will refer that out because I don't feel that, you know, I would best service them. And that's serving is key in our industry.
Relationship is so paramount. That's the one thing I really just try to reinforce with our team, is that we lead with relationship. That's it. Like, no deal is worth more than the relationship we have with our client. Like, just focus on them. Everything else will get taken care of. And I also love that you said just the spirit of being the hardest working person. That landed me my very first transaction in San Francisco, which was for $2.5 million. I met somebody at an open house who owned a business and really embodied the spirit of hard work. And when he was talking to me, he just point blank asked me, how many transactions have you had? And I was like, darn it. And I remember just sinking for a second. And I was like, all right, pull yourself together. And I was like, look, I don't have any transactions, but I'm working at this brokerage and I have all this backing and these people have all this experience. So regardless, I don't have a big book of business, but I will be the hardest working agent you'll ever find. And he goes, all right, let's do it. And I was like, oh my God. And I had that shot, that one opportunity, and it paid off in dividends. I've done multiple deals with this one individual and his family And it just continues. And it was all built on the willingness to just to go for it.
I love that. Yeah. I think being like the hard worker and proving yourself is so key. I remember, several years back, I was invited to be an agent considered for this real 14,000 square foot home. It was going to be over $5 million on this premier street in Nashville. And, when I walked into the listing appointment, I saw my competition's book sitting there. So I knew who my competition was, but even though they were, I would say, the creme de la creme of luxury agents, the old school luxury agents, I shrugged it off and I said, you know what? I'm just going to show them what I can bring to the table, why I'm different. And I sat there and I think that the most important thing in real estate is when you're dealing with a client across the table, whether it's a buyer or seller, or even if we're negotiating, the most powerful tool you can have is to listen and to really understand what the other person is coming from. When I'm dealing with a buyer, you can really get to the heart of what they're looking for, what's most important. With a seller, you know, what terms, what's, and you will also know when to push and when to pull. Like, is it appropriate to start to talk about paint color changes right now on staging, or is that going to be super offensive right now? And should we talk about that later? There's certain things that you need to know. And then of course, on the negotiation side, I love to just be quiet because the other agent will tell me all the information that I need to know for to negotiate the deal. So listening is such a powerful tool. And I think that you really get to the heart of the matter. And going back to the 14,000 square foot home, when I was up against all these luxury agents, I remember they called me back. And because I explained, I'm part of a team, I have a listing coordinator, and I want you to meet her. And I have two showing assistants. So if I'm not available to show, they will be here and they are going to be trained under me. And so it was important for them to meet my team as well. So we came back through and I noticed when she opened up the door, there were these amazing, beautiful bouquets of flowers everywhere. And now I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I sent them a handwritten note. Was I supposed to send them a bouquet of flowers like all of these other luxury agents? I missed the mark, but I didn't miss the mark because I was me. And I sent a handwritten note and they chose me and I sold that house. And I got top dollar when everybody, all the neighbors said, you're shooting for the moon to them. And they said, no, we believe in Erin and what she's going to do. And I asked them later, I said, why me? Why did you choose me? And they said, you said something very powerful during the presentation. You said, I don't want to be your listing agent. I want to be your selling agent. I don't intend to have this listing for a year. I want to market it correctly. I want to position it correctly. I want to tell the story of it. Elvis recorded in this house. There was a recording studio and stuff like that. There's so many great stories. I wanted to bring that to the focus. And I understood that they took a 6,000 square foot home and made it 14 and that they cared about every inch of this home. And I had to be very delicate with that. And they also said, you didn't want to like change too much. You wanted to tell the story. And they appreciated that. So my passion and my understanding of where that seller was coming from really led me to getting that listing. And that wasn't my first luxury listing, but it was definitely the luxury listing that launched me into a different category. And so that opportunity, I'm so thankful for. But every single time I walk into a listing appointment, I don't assume I'm going to get it, even if I'm not competing. I go there, I'm incredibly prepared, but I also am taking notes of the person that I'm dealing with because I need to know what kind of person they are. Are they analytical? Are they needing like their hand to be held more? Like, how am I best to communicate to them and what is going to work for them? What is the timing, knowing when to push, when to pull and all of that? And I really work on with myself and my team is that mirroring. And, you know, when you're scripting different things like this, and a lot of people say, oh, scripting, it's so not authentic. Well, if you practice and you practice and you practice, it will become authentic. And so you have to really practice it. It's those who don't put the time into it and the practice into it that can come off a little cheesy or that you're being salesy.
It's funny. I say scripts are, they're garbage in my opinion. if you follow the script, if you understand the spirit of it, and you put it into your own words, and you give it your own tone, in your own pauses, in your own, you're an actor, and you're reading a movie script, and you make it your character, then it's gold.
Yeah, 100%. You just take it as a guideline, a bullet points. It's interesting. We have a young agent that just joined our team, and there's a 7-week kind of tasks, if you will, of training that she has to go through with each one of my agents and spend time with them. And one of them is to listen to the buyer consult with, you know, another agent. And what's interesting is she came to me and she said, it's all the same information, just given with their own twist in a different way.
Yes, 100%.
And that's what I taught them. Like, I want Mary to be Mary and Georgia to be Georgia. They're not going to be Aaron Kruger. But what they do is they need to give the same information, but in their way. And that's the whole thing about scripting.
100%. And that was the spirit of what I was going for, is you have to own it. You have to make it yours, but then it has to match them. And the way that I teach it is, imagine going into a room and everybody in the room speaks a different language. If you want to communicate with an individual, you first have to seek to understand. You have to hear what language they're speaking, and now you can match it so you can have a conversation. And it's that whole philosophy of slow down to go fast. You have to first seek to understand. What's the rule? You can't influence somebody until you first understand what influences them.
Absolutely.
I love that story of that massive 14,000 square foot transaction, because it is so important to truly understand who you're communicating with, to understand what is genuinely important to them. And then you're not changing anything. You're just making adjustments so they hear you, so you can ultimately get the job. And that's what we're here for. And I always go into every meeting with clients, I always feel like I'm competing. And so it makes me be more prepared, be more focused, deliver 100%, because I feel like somebody's nipping at my heels, trying to grab that listing or that buyer or that opportunity out from under me. So it gives me a little bit of extra fuel.
I love the competition aspect of it anyways. And when somebody says, full disclosure, we're interviewing other agents, I said, I love it. I'm so glad you are.
As they should. And I tell them, I you know, if I'm interviewing for somebody on my team, I'm not interviewing one person for the role. I'm interviewing multiple people, and I want to find the best person for that role. So yeah, I would encourage it, and not into some capacity. Like, I wouldn't give them a list of names, that's for sure. But I don't shy away from competition. I've been in sports and an athlete my whole life. I know how it makes me show up. It gives me that little extra, that boost of energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So from that transaction, you've been able to just parlay that into more of the luxury category?
I have. I mean, I have, you know, with our team, we sell all price points. I mean, I primarily do a lot of luxury, so I have everything. Our luxury market in Nashville is a lot lower than other marketplaces, but it has since COVID has definitely taken an upward tick. Our luxury market right now starts about 1.5, 1.7, and then goes up from there. But I have listings right now that are from the 1.8 range all the way up to 20 million. You know, we do a lot of, you know, like I said before, I have, developers and builders. And so I do a lot of new construction. It's great because I have my hands into so many different things, whether it's a resale or it is something that's in a development. But we have a community we just launched on the west side that's more of a starter community, townhomes, single family homes, you know, that is right at like the average, you know, price point in Nashville. So, you know, we have 32 units we released last week. We have 8 units under contract right now. We'll be sold out in, I think, 3 weeks, which is great. So, and these are under $1 million, right? This is part of our average price point in Nashville. So being able to service all price points is really key, I think, as well in the diversification model that I was speaking about earlier. When COVID ended up happening, it was very interesting because I had a starter community that I had in my back pocket that, of course, I was given right before shelter in place. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
But what was interesting was that was amazing to have at that time because we had so many phone calls from New York and New Jersey and California that they just wanted to get a landing place in Tennessee. And so we were selling so much virtually, we sold out that community. And I think a lot of the luxury market at that time had stopped and a lot more, kind of entry level price points were just being gobbled up because from other markets that was so cheap, it was worth the risk of if it didn't work out, I just turn it into a rental. And so for me, I was able to close out a community of 16 million, right? And of a sellout for that, which was great. But on face value to another luxury agent, they're like, oh, that's not luxury. But you know what? That is something that I can sell out during a shelter in place, have income generating into my business. And so that is so important and why I go back to diversification.
It is important. And to your point, once if you pigeonhole yourself in any business and that one thing goes away, you're stuck. And it's the companies that are able to pivot. And with us, there's definitely different, we clearly have different price points. And then within that, you have end users, you have developers, there's a whole other suite of categories, plus you have leasing, plus you have commercial. And so there's a lot of ways in our market and all markets that people can absolutely diversify. So you currently have 9 agents on your team. How many different divisions do you have?
So we have 5 divisions. And so we've got our builders and developers, our relocation, our regular buyers and sellers, right? Our sphere of influence that we've always had. And then we still have our investor division. And so while we don't work with is the larger REITs anymore, what I parlayed that into is high wealth family funds. And so out of Greenwich, out of San Francisco, all of these different places, Chicago, and we help them buy what they're looking for, whether it's long-term rentals, multifamily, land. A lot of them are hot on land. So it just depends on what they're looking for. We want to be that real estate advisor for them, depending upon what their need is.
That is a much smarter way to go about it because then you can keep it in-house and you have somebody who actually specializes on that thing. Whereas we talked about this briefly right before it. Otherwise, you become an agent who then tries to do everything and then you get spread a little bit too thin because you're not a specialist in everything. So then you're okay in a lot of categories.
Right. We have a really great agent who is, kind of our ace in the hole for short-term rentals. And, she's just incredibly knowledgeable. Our SEO for our website, if you're searching for Nashville, short-term rentals is probably one of the highest here in Nashville. And so we get a lot of leads in. But when those leads come in, I'm not working them. Georgia, who does a lot of land and a lot of Williamson County estates, is not working them. That's, we try to be specialized on our team, but yet being able to cater to, a wide variety of buyers and sellers.
It's simply brilliant. Within the team, aside from working directly with clients, what's your role in holding all this together?
For so long, I faked it until I made it, right? So, but I'm still learning every single day. I lead a lot of masterminds and coaching things for team leaders. And, it's tough to be a team leader.
It is.
But because you're the CEO of the business, right? You, in some cases, are the rainmaker. It depends what model you're deciding to go after. You still bring in a majority of the business. You may still work a majority of the business. And then you're dealing with different personalities on the team, right? Everybody has a different personality, a different need, a different why. And you're also a coach as well. And you are helping to get the very best out of your team members for production so they can reach their goals and to hold them ultimately accountable to reaching their goals. So for me, I think that I find a huge amount of satisfaction in seeing my team members not only reach their goals, but completely obliterate them. And I make sure that when they do put down their goals and we sit down in December and we map out what that next year is going to be, that we make sure that they are big and audacious to begin with. There are some reach goals in there. And it really makes them outside their comfort zone. It makes them a little uncomfortable, you know, like, I don't think I can do that, Erin. You can do that. You can do that. I know you can do that. And then when we sit down in June to reevaluate that, and I go, you thought you couldn't do it. We already did it. And it's in June. And then they're like, yeah, I know. I'm so tired. I'm going to take the rest of the year off. I said, you're not taking the rest of the year off, sister. You know? And it's just one of those things where I think it's like when you have the power of somebody who believes in you and gives you the opportunity, but yet they're ultimately responsible for the success because they're the ones putting the work into it. I think sky's the limit. And, you know, we have an open forum on our team. They can reach out at any time. I've got their back. You know, I don't pretend to know all answers and all things, but I will get us to the right person that can get us the answers if I don't know them. And so we're really collaborative as a team and we work together. And just before I jumped on with you, we had, you know, our Friday call and it was talking about our buyer listing needs. And we talk about all of our listings and all of our buyers. And it's not just one agent on an island by themselves. We're talking about, oh, well, did you see so-and-so's, you know, listing? Or did you see that this is coming soon? Or I saw this sign, or I saw this, you know, construction going on this road. You might want to, you know, knock on their door, that kind of thing. And that's how we get stuff done. And that's how we really deliver for our clients because, you know, we could not sell, you know, 250 homes and 90 of those homes were off market, 90 of them.
That's impressive.
Yep. And it's because we work together. We work together for solutions to find that needle in a haystack. And I mean, I think that's like, I always tell people when we sit down for the buyer consult, if it's out there, we'll find it. We'll find it. So, and I think that's what people love about working with us is that we're very direct. We're very, and we say it may not happen right away. Just letting you know, it might take some time, but we will find it. And, but we're also quick to telling them for what you want, in the area that you want, you're not going to be able to get in your price point. So we either need to reevaluate that or we need to look somewhere else, right? And to have those kind of direct conversations. And I think a lot of people are afraid to have hard conversations with clients, whether it's to talk about a price reduction, talking about preserving your commission, whatever it is. I think that communication is everything. And as long as everybody understands where you're coming from, it makes it a lot easier throughout the transaction when you're working together, when you really over communicate on the front end.
Yes, I have my own personal experiences of not communicating enough, learning a lesson. And now we've, with the team, we've built in intervals when we, every Monday and Thursday, we follow up with all of our clients, even if nothing's happening. It's just, hey, I'm just giving you a non-update update. Here's what's happening. Nothing to be alarmed about. Everything's moving forward. And they just, it gives them a level of comfort. But I find a lot of agents just simply don't communicate enough. But the way that I view it is agents, people generally have an idea that we only negotiate the price at the time of the deal. We're negotiating the whole time. We negotiate, I would say, with our buyers more than with anybody else because we're trying to get them to see the comp, see what the value of the property is, to understand what it's going to take to get to the next step, or if they're just totally misaligned with their expectations versus reality, we're bringing them back to earth. And it's, those are all micro negotiations. And you have to just become very comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations because at the end of the day, it leads to their success. And that's whatever their goal is, that's what we're here to support. And so we have to get them in alignment with what can actually be possible.
Totally agree.
I love what you said about having stretch goals on the team. We call them wince goals. If you put the number down and you don't wince a little bit, it's not big enough. Go back and write a bigger number. And until you get that little like, ooh, it hurts, it's not there. And in a, and I find for myself, and when you watch others really put their head down and get to work, when it is a big stretch goal like that, something happens to people. They really show up for the occasion. If you aim low, you hit low. If you aim high and you miss, you're still doing a phenomenal amount of work. And that's what it's about. It's about growth. I mean, at the end of the day, it's if you're growing and evolving, that's ultimately what happiness leads to.
Absolutely. I tell everybody who comes onto my team and when we're through the interview process, you know, our goal on our team is to be better tomorrow than we are today. We are lifelong learners. We are always reading. We are always trying to shift. We have to pivot in this market. You have to kind of stay ahead of the curve. That's what our clients deserve. And that's what we're going to deliver. And that's our commitment to them. And so I really try to encourage that. Going back to what I said earlier, you know, about one of the most powerful things that you can do is be a great listener. I think one of the best, and to couple that with goals, one of the best tips that I can give to people is when they're starting to hire people is to put a little test into your interview. So for me, it's the same test. And so if somebody decides to listen to this podcast, they're getting a leg up. And so they're going to know what my test is. So basically, I tell them how big I am on goals. And how I sit down, just like I told you, every single December, and we talk about those big audacious goals, and we plan out what the personal goals are, what the business goals are, and then we do action items, how to achieve that. And I always say to the person who I'm interviewing, I want to know what your goals are. What are your goals for the next year? What are your goals for the next 5 years? I want to know what they are. So tonight, send me an email and let me know what those goals are.
The expectation of delivery. Do it.
My point with that is that no matter how lovely that person is, if they did not listen and they did not hear tonight, then they don't get the job. They don't go to the next round, which is to meeting with my team members for the interview. Because listening is so important, and there's certain skills that you just can't teach people.
I'm literally in the process of hiring for a marketing person right now. And there was the first round of interviews that happened with another team member. And I was on the email at the second, the follow-up email. And it said, can you please share some of the businesses that you've worked with or examples of your work prior to meeting Sean tomorrow? And then there was a few time options. And then they responded back with which time slot they wanted with nothing about their work. So they followed up. My team member followed up with, can you please provide some of your work? Nothing. A couple hours before the meeting, I chimed in and said, would you please mind sharing a little bit more about your work? Nothing. And then I wound up just canceling the appointment. I was like, the attention to detail and the delivery of very basic things, it's important. And if you don't have a sense of urgency to get it there and to pay attention to the details, to your point, if you're meeting with a client, you're going to blow the whole deal because you were off somewhere else thinking about what you were going to do on the weekend and not actually paying attention to the client and to what they actually wanted or needed.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, every real estate team operates very differently, but when I'm working with my agents and they're new, This is something that a lot of people don't know that I do, but I will listen to them on their first couple deals when they're on the phone negotiating. And it might make that person nervous, but we've scripted so much and they've scripted in front of me. That's not really the concern from them, but I want to hear how the conversation goes because this is real life objections across, you know, phone lines right there. So I remember one of my team members who's been with me for years now, when she was a young agent, her and her family had actually moved from Jersey. And when I was young in my career, I sold them a house and she was a young lady. And of course I stay in touch with all my clients. And when she was in college, she came to work for me as my assistant, then grew in the ranks and chose to go get a real estate license. So she's been with me for a long time. But she's from Jersey. And so she has a little bit of that Jersey accent still. And one of the things that we were working on was listening, not interrupting, making sure that we give the pauses to get our points across and things like that. And so in the very beginning of her working some deals, I was like, Laura, I'm going to be on mute. I want to listen. And we're going to talk about it afterwards. And you know, I would see how the call went, and I would talk about, these are the great points that you did. These are some of the things we need to kind of work on. And now I can tell you that she has worked on that, and she is so good on her delivery. And, you know, she's in her late 20s, and she's working with multi-million dollar clients all the way to first home time buyers. She's so thorough, and she's a great agent. But I am investing in every single agent that is on my team, and my time is valuable. I know what my hourly rate is, and everybody should, but nothing is more important than the success of my team members. And so I have to, as a team member or a team lead, I have to make sure I'm putting the time in for them. And real world feedback is key. And that's through scripting. And that's through, like, you know, seeing things, seeing emails, looking into our follow-up boss, which is our CRM, and seeing the communication on the other side and giving feedback. You can't be afraid to give somebody feedback. Feedback is a gift. It's about the delivery. That's the thing that team members need to work on, is how is it delivered? We have such a strong culture on our team that my team just doesn't want to disappoint me. They just don't want me to be disappointed. That could be the absolute worst if I said I'm disappointed.
That is pretty bad. Yes. that is the worst.
Yeah. And everybody's human. Everyone's going to make a misstep, right? And it's about how we go from that point when we acknowledge it, and what kind of systems and processes are we putting in place to prevent that from happening again. Maybe the client never knew of the misstep. That doesn't matter. We are our own judge at the end of the day as far as how we're going to run the transaction. And we have committed to being better tomorrow than we are today. And so we're setting up another process, and this is going to allow us to not have that issue that came up. And that's who we are as a team. That's what we've committed to. And that's how I run my team. And like I said, everybody runs it differently. There's all shapes and sizes of teams. I decide to be extremely high touch with my team, and but yet I'm not a micromanager. I want them to be able to think on their own. There is the time when the training wheels come off and they're off to the races. But I'm always there to have their back. And I think that's so important. And we work in a way that is not on an island. And they always know that they not only have me, but they have all the other agents behind them. And that's really, really important.
Having your community, you're right. It's 100% important as an agent, because a lot of this is very, you're out there and you're alone. And sometimes you need people to volley. I had this conversation. This is how it went. How would you do it different? And being receptive and open and having that safe space where, you know, I'm going to share feedback and I'm not going to get berated for it. And knowing that people actually have your best intentions at heart, it creates a much better culture and environment for people to grow and really grow into themselves. I had flashbacks when you were sharing, listening in on your team years and years and years ago. I worked for a newspaper, and it was like my first week on the job. It was when I first moved to San Francisco, and I was selling ad space. And the manager literally pulled up a chair next to my desk with a notepad and would listen to me making calls. And it was the most uncomfortable experience of my life. But what I learned in that was so incredibly important. And it actually gave me a level of, I don't care who's listening. I'm going to present and communicate with my client. They're going to be the only person in the room. No one else exists. And I'm going to stay focused on my task at hand. And it really shifted and changed me. And after that point, I had zero care of who was listening in on that call or who came to a meeting with me from that point forward. So it's hard being on the receiving side of it, but you grow exponentially. You grow geometrically from that, regardless of the feedback, because you're auditing yourself in a very different way.
Well, it was funny because Laura, the one who I had, you know, illustrated the listening on the phone call and her growth and everything, fast forward all these years later, last week, I get a random text message from an agent that she is doing a deal with. And he just says, "Aaron, I just want you to know how fabulous Laura is."
Oh my goodness. I love that.
are calling about this property. But Laura is a standout. The questions that she asks, the attention to detail is far and above every other agent. And I said, you don't know what that means to me, that feedback. Thank you so much. And I did a screenshot and I put it into our team group thread, not just to Laura, to the whole team. And I just said, way to go, Laura. And then everyone else is reading it, but that's our girl. And it was just such a great moment. And I think that's important too. You celebrate the wins, you celebrate the things. And I think like just letting somebody know that like when they do a great job is so important, or do the best thing. I mean, when it was a little bit slower in our market, you know, when the interest rates kind of went crazy and inflation and everybody just stopped, it was in multiple markets. Everything just really slowed down from really last summer to the December. You know, we were used to being kind of almost underwater with buyers. It was almost the feeling to the fact of like, oh goodness, we have some time now. And we're into our CRM and we're doing the things that we're doing, but they just weren't used to it after all these years of running at such 110 miles an hour, right? And so I said, okay, ladies, I want to show you something that I did early in my career. And it's called dialing for dollars. But let me show you how in any market you can make money. And I'm going to show you with $0 how you can make money. And so I set up a contest and I showed them on a specific targeted group how we were going to get their names, how we were going to get their numbers. We scripted for 1 month before we ever did this so we could overcome every objection. We were practicing with each other and we set up contests. Who can set up the most listing appointments? Who can set up the most buyer consult appointments? Who can get somebody under contract? There were so many different things there. And everybody was cheering on everybody else. And I think that's the thing. I had so many team leads that were like, oh no, I'm telling everyone, you know, enjoy this quiet time. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about doing business. You've been, you know, doing it crazy for the last couple of years. But that's the same person that's probably going to be crying come February when they don't have any business. And so my whole thing is that you need to always be in your business and working on your business, no matter what the market is. That is at top of mind and I'm able to bring ideas and showing my team that you can come up with your create business out of nothing. And I was showing them that. That's a very powerful tool. I always go back to that old saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, the thing is that you can teaching somebody to fish versus giving them the fish, right? Like this is what I do as a team lead. I want to teach them. They can all go out on their own in their own right and be superstars. They choose to stay on the team and be part of the team unit. And that's what the beautiful thing is of the culture that we've created. I've got people that are on my team for over 10 years.
That's amazing. Considering the stats on a national level, that's a staggering number.
Yeah. And they are amazing. I mean, my team members are amazing and we do amazing things together. I mean, I take them all away every single year. We go to a different Caribbean island and it's all on me. I mean, they work hard and they deserve to be pampered and they're pampered. And that is their Christmas gift, a holiday gift from me. And I just want them to know that the harder you work, like a magical things can happen. You are in control of your destiny. I'm an old farm girl and you know, I work every day that I think that I have zero in the bank. And for me, it's just kind of being better. And then I don't even think about the commissions. I'm closing out on the Four Seasons penthouse next week. And you know, it's a big commission, but really until I read that Alta, I don't even think about it. It's about the service.
I'm in the same mindset. I don't worry about the commission. It takes care of itself. And we actually, even on the back end of the business, is we don't actually talk houses sold or dollars and cents. We talk about families helped. And we really focus on leading with relationship. But I love what you said about teaching people to fish. And that's at the core of what we do as well. It's what's completely different is I want the agent who joins the team, my team, to I want to give them all the tools they need to create their own phenomenal business, but then provide enough value and support and benefit of being on the team where they don't want to go, because it's better to stay. It's, you're getting more of what you need here with us. And rather than here's a whole bunch of leads that I'm paying for and I'm not actually teaching you anything, you're not actually gaining anything of value. You're just getting slammed with all of these with lead, and nothing against the online leads, but it's a ton of volume for a very small return. Whereas if you just focus on the people who already know you, like you, and trust you, it's going to pay dividends.
Sure.
And I hope people didn't miss that, but the nuance of spending a month training up the team for this event and working on all the objections, but pulling everybody together to work on it collectively as a team for a month prior to launching, that sets you up for success rather than, hey team, we're doing this, we're going to start calling tomorrow, and then people start failing at it and then they resent you for them not being set up for success.
I grew up outside of Philadelphia, okay, on a farm, but I remember Rocky. I mean, when he was training, remember the movie Rocky?
Heck yeah, it's one of my favorites.
And he was like, you know, you're seeing him doing the pull-ups and you're seeing him do like the sleds and the snow. You got to train. You got to practice. This is what we have committed to in our career. So if it's a listing, you practice. You are prepared. You know what you're doing. You have confidence. When you have confidence about what you're doing, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's yours to lose, really. And so I think that's like so important. And so like the commitment to being, you know, at a different level, I always tell my team, like, we don't hire like B players. We're hiring A players. Like, I don't need Michael Jordans. I need people like that are like assisting each other. Like, we're a team, right? But like, you have to be committed every single day of showing up and just being at a high, high level. And so like, I always go back to that whole like Rocky thing. Like, we got to practice, we got to condition, we got to make sure that we are right. I'm an old athlete too. Like, you have to do those things. And at the end of the day, we're a team. And if I look back at the makeup of my team, I have a ton of college athletes. So I think that kind of also contributes to a lot of the success here.
I love that you say that. This is really strange, but I have found from doing all these interviews, the team leads in some capacity are athletes, from Taekwondo, like world-class competitors, to ultra marathon runners, to I'm a martial artist for a decade. It blows my mind, but I think there's something about the DNA of training. And similar to Rocky, when you get in the mindset of training, it's not about competing. It's about putting in the work to show up for that one magical day. And in that day is an accumulation of all that hard work you put in. And I would guarantee, if I talk to every person on your team, I would guarantee that the day they picked up the phone for the first time after scripting for a month, 100% of them would say, I felt totally confident on that very first call right out of the gate. Because when you show up and you're just so incredibly prepared, the air around you is different. Like, there's a different, you show up very different versus the mass of other people that are picking up the phone and just dialing who are unprepared. They're making your team look phenomenal right out of the gate.
Love it.
Within our business, the open house is really, it's still very strong here. It wasn't during COVID, but it is currently. And the scripts and the tweaking of those scripts is really where it's similar to dialing for dollars. We refined it to the point where Priyanka, who's on my team, she shows up to open houses and she's like, look at all the leads I got. It just all the time. When I love that, I love that she's found her voice within all the scripts and just can show up and deliver just time and time and time again.
There was one Sunday where we had like 8 or 9 open houses and one of my team members got sick. And so I was like, I'll do this open house. So I haven't done open houses in years. Okay. I'm, you know, I've done my thousands of open houses in my day, but I haven't. So I was like, you know what? No problem. That's team. Somebody is sick. Somebody else is going to step in.
Yeah.
And so Georgia, who's on my team, she was my transaction manager at the time, licensed. But she was like, I'll do it with you. So it was one of those things where it was like, oh yeah, this is why we do what we do. We were in it. Like we were feeling good. We were like knocking on the doors for the neighbors, letting them know we were doing everything that we did, you know? And then it was like the connection that you're starting with all the people that are coming through the door. And honestly, as a salesperson, even though we're soft sales, we feel it. We get energy off of that, just like your team member does. And it's just something that I looked at Georgia, I was like, I still got it.
I love that.
I'll do these open houses. So, but it's funny because that's what we do. And it becomes natural because that's part of our personality. And there's a relationship that can be established every single time somebody walks over that threshold of that house, and the opportunity is yours for the connection. And so I think it's about having fun too.
Yeah.
It's when people see that you're kind of having fun with it and you love what you do and that you're passionate, it's really contagious.
It is absolutely contagious. It's attractive. People, no one wants to work with Eeyore.
Nobody.
they want to work, they want to work with the person who's enthusiastic about their job and enthusiastic about working with that individual and excited, and they have a plan. And they bring all of that to the table. Oh my goodness. Time is like railed by. I feel like we barely scratched the surface of all that I wanted to learn. We barely touched on the team. I wanted to talk way more about that, but unfortunately we're running out of time. I know you time block, and I want to be extremely respectful for that.
Thank you.
If any agents listening have a client who's moving to the Tennessee area, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you or your team?
Yeah, so you can definitely call me direct, 615-509-7166, or email me at erin@erinkruger.com, or follow us on Instagram, the Erin Kruger team. We have a huge following there, have a lot of great content. Message us through Instagram. And we'd be glad to help. We do a lot of relocation all over the country, and it's something that I feel like we are top notch in.
Really quick, do you teach coaching?
I do. I do a lot of speaking engagements about it, and I'm going to be launching a nationwide coaching program for team leaders in the future. And so it's just something that is in my passion bucket, is to be able to really help others grow their business. So I love to hear what's going on with other people's teams and the dynamics, and then if I can kind of help bring a nugget to help them be better.
I love it. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that for sure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.